Blog Talk Radio.
You are.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of It's Bigger Than Hip Hop. I'm your host, Jeff Hodges. And tonight, I welcome you to, as I said, another edition of It's Bigger Than Hip Hop. And I'm your host, Jeff Hodges. And joining me tonight is none other than Atlanta-based artist and hot mixtape master Peach Music, here to talk about his latest release, The Rising of a Trilogy, Volume 1, now. Without further delay, help me welcome to the show, Preach Music. What's good, Preach?
Yo, yo, what's going on, man? What's happening, Joe? How you doing, brother?
Man, I'm good. I'm good. Like I said, man, I'm feeling your music and couldn't wait to sit down with you to talk about it.
That's right. That's right. I appreciate you having me, man.
Definitely, definitely. Now, you grew up in Texas, or rather, you're from Texas, but you grew up in Phoenix, Arizona at the height of the crack epidemic, raised in an abusive home, found yourself a homeless runaway at 13, drug dealing and gangbanging to survive. You moved from home to home, in and out of that foster care system, but in spite of it all, you took all those negatives and used music and writing as a way to escape that world that surrounds you. And your songs, you depict real-life tales with that truth riding a mean beat. My question is, what do you want your listeners to walk away with after listening to A Rising of a Trilogy, Volume 1, now?
Basically, what I want my listeners to walk away with is, I mean, I'm taking my listeners on a different journey in each song. I speak on 86 in particular. When I was doing 86, my thought process with that song was, it's a misconception that us as a people are inferior. I wanted to do somewhat of like a mini documentary within that song to show that there's a root to the reasons, or this is a result of the nonsense and the oppression that we've been put through as a people. So it's not a fact, or it's not a case that we are inferior, or something is wrong with us, or that we don't have the ability to build. It's clear if you look through history and you do research, and you can see the obstacles that were purposely placed in front of us to trip us up along the way. So my intent with The Rising as a whole is basically to speak from a standpoint of a cat that's in the street, but try to bridge them to a place, a spark of thought, so that they can go on and listen to other people that, or they'll be more apt and open to listen to another person that's bringing straight knowledge, and I'm trying to give them a bit of that in my music as well.
And I'm telling you, I'm definitely feeling you when you talk about that and how you presented it, and when you talk about that trilogy, you released that Heaven to Hell video that features you sitting on the front steps and sharing the world through your eyes, as you said. And really, I'm really feeling that track and the message. And if I had to describe your style, it definitely reminds me of Tupac, speaking more on the social inequities that you see happening every day in our hood. How would you describe your music and the intent and your message?
Well, like I said, once again, it's funny you brought that up. You know, when I was out in the streets like that, and I remember coming up, you know what I'm saying, in the 90s, we had music, especially in the golden age, we had music that spoke to our spirit. So I remember being on the block. I remember having that jar of dope and seeing, you know what I'm saying, the devastation on the block and the pain and everybody trying to drown the pain and sherm and alcohol, and it wasn't no hope. And that music that Brothers was putting out, him in particular, was a healing music. So I remember putting that on and feeling like, oh, you know what? It's somebody going through what I'm going through. You know what I'm saying? So especially being a runaway and being 13, when it was like, man, don't nobody give a – there was a particular time where I felt like, man, don't nobody give a – you know what I'm saying? I don't know if I don't want to use no crazy words. I don't know what the listener base is. don't nobody care about me. You know what I'm saying? So, and I remember he shed so many tears. And being like, well, that's how I feel. You know what I'm saying? And it was a healing not only for me, but the people I was around. So that's my same intent. I want a person to feel like, yo, you know what? He understands what I'm going. When I listen to this music, somebody feels my pain. Somebody feels what I'm going through. Or that's what I was thinking. But I couldn't articulate it, you know what I mean, the way I wanted to. So that's my intention with it, basically, just to be a voice. For the voiceless, what I believe hip-hop was originally intended for in the first place.
No doubt. Now, you had a unique set of life experiences, as we mentioned earlier, that have prepared you, no doubt, for this moment in time of your career. And it's at this moment you're ready to not only tell your story as you do in your music, but the story of many young African-American men lost in the streets of America. Now, a lot of artists typically romanticize and glamorize that life. You offer insight into that lifestyle coming from a cautionary tale perspective, in my opinion. What do you say to people who say you sound like all the rest when it comes to your lyrical content?
Could you repeat that end part again?
So what do you say to people who say you sound like all the rest when it comes to your lyrical content?
I can't sound like nobody else. You know, the Most High gave me this throat, you know what I'm saying, and this voice box. You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is. I mean, us as artists, it's just like if you're a painter and you go sit on the corner and you get your brush and you a narrator, you know what I'm saying, with words, and if you look around, if ain't nothing changed, then what else can I present to you? You know what I'm saying?
This is
what's going on. This is the truth of what's going on. So I love to tell you about something else, and I only can do what's true to me. So I can't, when I go into my creative process, I can't dig in and grab something that's not there. You know what I mean? So I have to speak to what's real. I have to speak to what it is. And I feel like there is other artists that are doing what I'm doing, and I champion that. I think there's a place for everything. There's just an imbalance at this point. So this is what it is. Once again, I mean, all of those different perspectives are true. The main thing is that my voice is my voice. So when it comes on and you hear that, that's unique to everything else, because every individual's voice is unique. Every style should be unique, and in a lot of cases they are, you know what I mean?
True. Now, since listening to the trilogy, my question would be, have you transformed from that life you speak about in that whole, you know, album, and if so, how?
Most definitely. Man, I had an opportunity when I was younger to get a record deal. It was an independent label out of Phoenix, Arizona. Shout out to 4 Life Records. And that situation took me out of the street. Excuse me. So I hadn't completely, you know, it takes time to completely transcend from that.
Right.
But that took me out of having to be on the block or having to do nonsense or put myself in a position to get in the prison industrial complex. So at this point, I completely transcended. At this point, I want to be a bridge to, like I said, once again, to the cats that are still in that space, and then
right.
give them some insight to where that they can pick up on what I'm saying and maybe get into some of the deeper knowledge. Now, at the same time, I'm an artist first, so I still have to be honest. So if you listen to the trilogy, you probably may still hear a bit in there, but I make sure I position it in a way, because I still got to be honest to what's real and real out here. I'm not going to act like I'm holier than now or that still don't have these experiences. You know what I'm saying? But I definitely take more responsibility with what I'm saying and making sure that I'm not continuing to perpetuate the nonsense that's railroading youngsters into prison, because I know how influential the music can be. You know what I'm saying? So I don't want to do that, and I don't want to glorify that. And if you, any, my personal opinion, anybody that's really from that, or that's really, really from that, deep from that, they don't really want you. Most of the time I've come across cats like that, they don't want you in that. They're going to try to say, man, you don't want no part of this. Or this ain't nothing that to glorify. I wish I had an opportunity. You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
This is a result of poverty and oppression, and that's where I'm coming from. This is just a narration of the results of that, not a, I'm flawed, because that ain't even true. Let's keep, you know what I mean? Like I said, once again, if you really out there, that ain't true. That's not true. It ain't glamorous. Unless, you know,
exactly.
you're getting drunk to make yourself believe it's glamorous. But it ain't. You in pain. You stressing. You working harder trying to sell dope than you would build, you know, trying to get a job just as hard as just building a business. You up 20 hours a day. You ducking the police, ducking jack boys. You know what I mean? So it ain't. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to glorify, in my opinion.
Nah, I love it, too. I love it. 1986. Man, that was one of them years that seemed to stand out from others. You created a time capsule video with your song 86, and you tap on all the aspects of that particular year, from Adidas to Crack Babies, Rev Run, and to Reagan. And this, as I said, definitely is one of my favorite joints. Tell us what inspired this masterpiece, soon to be classic.
Yeah, it was same thing, man. I was I was six, you know what I'm saying? If we get up with my age, I was six when it was 86. And it was just, I thought that was a significant turning point from, well, we know what was happening in the 40s, the 50s. We know when the nation came. We know when there was a movement in the 60s. You had the civil rights movement. You had the Nation of Islam that was prevalent. Even prior to that, in the 20s and 30s, you had the UNIA with Marcus Garvey. And I was just taking it from where it went. And then when 86, to me, I felt like that was the key point when in the 70s they eliminated the Black Panther Party with the COINTELPRO. And they eliminated all of those leaders. And then they started, and then they pumped the crack. So I'm saying right then, you know, we still had fathers in our residence. We were still in poverty, but we still had some semblance of a community. And I remember being in the streets and people be like, yeah, man, when crack came, my whole family fell apart. I remember my mama had a job, my daddy and mama mm-hmm. were together, and crack came and my whole house fell apart. You know what I'm saying? So that was what I was trying to outline with 86 was that there was some specific attacks against us biologically, economically, that created the condition we're in. When I talked to the Scarface movies and the Colors, I remember when Colors came out, and there was no games. I was in Texas at that time. There was no game banging. The day, well, mm-hmm. week after, it was packs of cats walking up the street talking about, what up, cuz, what up, blood. So why? We don't have the money Hollywood has to push this image out, to mesmerize and influence the kids. And people say, oh, it's just entertainment. Nah, man, that's subliminal messaging. So why is it, if you was to do a study, you see the result. So you can't continue to use the scapegoat as it's just entertainment. And that's basically what I was trying to say.
I love it. Now, you're definitely killing the mixtape game and writing some hot joints. Your latest joint you dropped for BET Presents Ammo 52 Blocks featured a song, Heart of a Warrior, which also was featured in the full documentary Gun Hill. How did the opportunity come about, and tell us what that experience was like?
Oh, man, that was a dope experience, man. It seemed to be an alignment of the stars, man. I don't know if my brother wanted me to put his name out there, but I got a partner out in Los Angeles. He gave me a call with the opportunity, and man, I wrote it, recorded it in the night, sent it back, and was blessed with the opportunity. He sent me over some footage, if you see in the video, some footage from Jamal Joseph that Lorenz Tate used to prepare for that role. He sent me that same footage, and it did something to me. I was like, man, that's what's up. And I just you know, did my thing, got in my zone, and came over Heart of a Warrior, and was blessed to have it be placed.
No doubt.
That I came for.
Now, you're letting go of those free downloads of The Rising of the Trilogy Volume 1 now on your website, preachmusic.com/The Rising. But I also understand you're gearing up to release an onslaught of new material of your own independent label, New Dynasty Enterprise. When can we expect that next volume of the Trilogy project to be released?
I'm working on it now. Actually, my next plan really is to drop singles, so I'm just going to start putting work out there. So I don't necessarily have a date, but it's probably going to come out of left field, to be honest. But you can definitely expect more music and more videos soon, probably as soon as end of August, September. You'll start hearing.
That's what's up.
And it'll be consistent.
What do you see yourself saying 5 years from now as an artist?
Man, I definitely believe in so a man think of so he is. So,
right.
I'm just shooting for the stars, bro. Like I definitely expect to be in a good spot. I say that. I definitely expect to be in a good spot. I'm humble about and appreciative of every opportunity that come forth. So, you know, I'm just working hard, keeping my mind to the stars and shooting for the stars. And I pray that, you know, I got a significant place, not in the ears of music fans. I'm not necessarily trying to be in the industry. I'm just trying to create an industry within myself, within my brand, and hopefully I can end up in a place that's comparable to what, you know, mainstream artistry would be considered.
No doubt. You're definitely doing that. You're doing your thing. Share with my listeners, are there any up-and-coming shows that we should be on the lookout for?
No shows right at this moment, but you can go to preachmusic.com. You can follow me at Twitter, /preachmusic. That's M-U-Z-A-K. And, you know, I'm always updating information there. You can go to my YouTube channel. That's YouTube/preachchannel. And those are basically the pages I'm pushing. You know, Facebook been suffocating folks' reach a little bit, so I updated.
That's right.
If you definitely want to if you definitely want to get the information right off bat, you know what I mean, just, you know, hit me up on Twitter, those outlets I just mentioned.
For sure, for sure. Man, I often find myself, as I spoke to you earlier, apprehensive to what type of artists we bring on the show, mainly because everyone who can rap and rhyme a few words doesn't necessarily mean they actually have anything to say even or worth listening to. You know, when I heard you, it immediately resonated with my spirit, more so because you share, as I mentioned, cautionary tales and what it is and like in that street life, and you warn your listeners of the consequences regarding that life. So, Preach, it's definitely been an honor and a pleasure having you on the show, and I'm wishing you continued success. It's bigger than hip-hop, Playboy.
All right, no doubt, brother. I appreciate you having me, and hopefully, you know, we'll be in touch, bro. Keep it moving.
No doubt. Before you go, you like to share any closing remarks to my listeners?
Oh, man, know thyself, man. You know, make sure that you know, look into your history, that you're not being taught it, and then look into what happened, and then get out of the victim mentality. And when I say get out of the victim mentality, it don't mean don't recognize the attacks against you, but don't feel like you can't defeat it. And, you know, follow your heart.
No doubt. Again, it's been a pleasant honor, and I thank you again for taking the time to share with us on It's Bigger Than Hip-Hop.
All right, brother. I appreciate you having me, man.
No doubt.
All right, no doubt.
Shout out to my guest, Preach Music. I want to thank him and also all those listening live in an archive. As you said, got to come from the heart, keeping it real. And we out, baby. Four.